There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
You know that I feel like it's really important to express yourself.
I know that about you.
You got to put your true self out there, okay? And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do just that.
Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean, literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know, it doesn't get more comfortable than Croc clogs and sandals. They're just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, Matt.
Where? Oh, I see. Wow.
Oh, my.
Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Oh,
yes.
My goodness.
Cool. Wow.
Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ting dong. Las Culturistas calling.
Set the scene. Go ahead.
Set the scene. 300 degrees. Is that from Party by Beyonce?
I believe so.
That's Andre 3000's verse.
Don't do this. Where you sort of, I say one thing and you know what I'm talking about and you sort of go the other way.
Matt.
You know what I want.
I just gave Matt a tour of my
home.
New apartment.
Homeowner. Optimal. Homo.
Uh-huh. Optimal? Operative?
Yeah, I guess that was,
yeah.
That was the thing. Huh?
I know what you mean. And then you don't know your words, but you do know your heart.
Someone came up to me on the plane the other day and
God.
They tapped me on the shoulder and said, I don't know my words, but I do know my heart. And I said, that needs to make a comeback.
You pierced through the soul of society, America, the world.
I let everybody
the three
know.
Big ones. Society, America, and the world. That's called a triple crown.
When you pierce society, America, and the world, it is called a triple crown.
A triple
and
crown.
That's actually a real culture number. Remind me.
52.
52.
When you pierce society, America, and the world, that's called a triple crown. And you did that when you uttered those words.
I truly did. You know what else has earned the triple crown? And one of my favorite decorative elements about your home today is I walked in and on the television is the face of Bradley Jackson.
Was the paused frame of Bradley Jackson on my television, and you call that a decorative element in my home.
I think it's a decorative element. It's like a painting. Like when you come in and you've screened.
I have paintings in my home, as you can see.
But I said it wasn't my favorite thing about the house.
I see.
My favorite thing about the house and something I think you should think about keeping all the time
is Bradley.
Just pause it on Bradley Jackson's face
mm-hmm.
on morning show and just have that be on your TV. Because, and this is actually a tip for everyone at home, you can use your TV as a painting.
That's true.
If you pause it in the right place.
If you pause it in the right place, you can use your TV as a painting. That is very true.
That's now, real culture number 5.
If
you can use your TV as
a
painting if you pause it in the right place.
I am in the middle of finishing this last week's episode of The Morning Show, and I'm realizing that we have not seen Chris in this episode. And I'm just now realizing, is The Morning Show kind of like SNL, where the cast is so big that you might not see your favorite character on any given episode?
Yeah. Answer, yes.
Yes.
I also think that Chris existed just to be in that one
that
race plot line.
Dark. That is. Which ended at episode 4, I guess.
Yeah. I have to imagine that, like, probably they wanted to do more with the character. And then, I guess, because there are so many people on this show, because it can't be said enough, the show employs some of the
highest paid
people in the world.
Each episode, on top of production costs, you pay money to shoot the thing
mm-hmm.
and to, you know, get the locations, whatever, get the nice cameras, get the costumes, whatever. And then all told, these actors are getting paid like $100 million.
I believe it at least started $2 million an episode for a recent gen.
I know, but
who,
I'm just,
by the way, it can't be overstated. Every single time they have a scene together in this season of The Morning Show, the third graders have killed it. The energy between them is, oh my God, hi.
Well, this is what I'm going to...
Oh my God, hi. It's so good to see you. Hey, thanks for always being my friend. Likewise, girl, gotta go.
Every scene is... I'm convinced that it's like Christopher Guest style where the actors are like told what happens in the scene and then they're like, go. You know, like, just make it your own. Like, literally, just in this episode, they go to the summit with... Bradley goes with her brother, who is at the insurrection.
Yes.
Who comes to visit town with his new wife and baby. He's turned his life around from being a drug addict. Which, I'm not saying it's not
drug
possible.
Drug addict, insurrectionist.
But, like, within a year has completely turned... Like, I can't even land a decent date once every quarter. And this man has, this insurrectionist is married with a family now?
Well, his privilege is showing.
Well, whatever. That's not what I'm saying.
First of all.
I'm saying it's very...
Well, we carry between the lines.
It's third.
And we think his privilege is showing.
Sure, sure, sure.
Joe Tippett, your privilege is showing.
Joe Tippett, who seems like a king.
And he's one of the most talented actors
out there. Handsome.
Handsome.
Lucky. I mean, he and Sarah Bareilles, that is a great couple.
That is a, like, low-key... power couple.
Forget about Travis and Taylor. That's the couple that I really am like, I need to know everything.
Bowen said, forget
No, that's
Trailer Swelsey, which is what I'm calling it.
Trailer Swelsey. Now, I'm just saying, there's this scene where they go to the summit, that place where you go and it's an amazing view. The wife has a stroller, goes, I'm going to go to the bathroom. She goes away. Reese's Bradley goes to her brother. I love her. She's amazing.
I love her. She's amazing. Oh my God. And then he's like, I'm confessing to the
government. I'm turning myself in.
She goes, what? You can't do that. Because just to catch you all up, he's an insurrectionist. By the way, so was Bradley Jackson. Because I'm sorry, but can you...
She went undercover.
Can you walk me through this? So how is she not in trouble?
Right, for being there.
For literally being amongst the insurrectionists and literally being in the Capitol. Like, that essentially means that you also...
I think in this world, in the third grader world of The Morning Show... Being a journalist means you are above the law.
Okay, great.
Do you know what I mean?
And now I don't have any more questions.
It's like, no one's above the law, I guess, in theory, but journalists are in that world.
In theory.
meanwhile, Insurrection Watch is not moving at all. We've not gotten any news.
We've gotten no news.
Do you still think we got
You said Insurrection Watch. We, of course, are at all
I'm
times
sorry,
on Insurrection Watch now. We're Indictment Watch.
Indictment Watch.
Well, we got him like so many times that...
But I don't know if we still got him.
Here's the thing. Like, when you got him four times, it's like sort of loses power. Well,
That's what they're counting on. That's what DOJ should have known.
I know. Anyway, back to real world issues, which is what's going on this television show. So if you don't know, now you know, Bradley Jackson was at the insurrection documenting.
Yes.
And right in front of her, assaulting a police officer,
is
her own brother, who we know she has had a difficult relationship, to say the least. Her mother dies of COVID.
Right.
We have to imagine that like turns her idiot brother into like even more of a raging freak. He goes to the insurrection, is a participant, assaults a police officer. She gets it on video.
Yeah.
Goes back to work.
Goes to her photos app on her Mac OS computer. Deletes it from her photos. We need to portray this more accurately in film and television. We need to have seen her go to her deleted files and delete for good. Which also, it still lives in the cloud even if you delete it from the trash.
Which I think Bradley Jackson would and should know. But I feel like
on
the third
Apple TV
graders...
On an Plus show, I'm saying...
100%.
Yeah.
I agree with you 100%. I will say, it's sort of like your thing about how texting on television should look like real texting. In that you know it's not that simple, girl. Like, they're not going to be doing all these setups.
Right.
And the third graders know that it's enough for the audience to see a video getting deleted to know that she is morally corrupt.
They're three seasons in. They know how to do this.
And can I say, I have no notes. I don't want them to change a thing. I want them to keep going. Because in this next episode, so basically, Billy Crudup, he finds out that she's deleted...
Yes, this really damning footage.
And basically now, Bradley, who's been all about journalistic integrity, when she is put to the test, she fails her own test. She is now... She could go to prison.
Right.
For doing this. So basically, he covers it up And now we're at where we're at. And the brother comes in and says, I'm going to confess. And she goes, are you fucking an idiot? And she's like, what have I done for you? I don't know. And she's like screaming. And then she has a scene with Jennifer Aniston where Jennifer Aniston's like, well, you know, that's what we do. We hold people to account. And Bradley Jackson goes, right. Right. Of course. That's what we do. And then Jennifer, anyway, I got to go. Big interview happening. And so love you, girl. Mwah, mwah.
I'm Jennifer. You're Reese. You are Reese. You want to be Reese.
I think, yeah, you are Jennifer. When I look around this apartment,
girl,
you're Jennifer.
This is an Alex Levy apartment. Can I say, I'm so confused at that character, at Alex.
What?
For...
Oh my gosh. You're confused about the characters on the morning show?
What I had to say out loud just to make it make sense in my brain was, she goes to like, has a day on Coney Island with John Hamm's character, who is this like billionaire tech oligarchy guy. And they have an amazing kind of pseudo date where like they really charm each other. She like gets him on a helicopter to the Hamptons. It's this big moment. You would think that she like likes the guy. And then the next episode, she's like grilling him at the all hands meeting.
Yeah,
at the
in
studio,
public in front of everyone.
In public in front of everyone, like trying to like embarrass him. I'm like,
it makes no sense.
Why? Why?
Because people are complicated, Bo. Okay. And characters don't make sense and humans don't make sense. Okay. And the morning show knows that more than anyone. That's why I love these girls writing the show.
Yes.
Because they know the show, like people, should make absolutely no sense.
Did we establish that the third graders got held back and have been in the third grade for 3 years in a row now? Because they never, quote unquote, graduated to the fourth grade.
They're Montessori.
I see.
Do you understand? Like they're
knitting. They're potting plants. They're writing TV.
I mean, they're third graders, like, it's more of a spiritual thing.
Yeah.
And less about like continuing to
educate.
To educate and like moving forward in terms of like, nothing about this is linear. Like nothing about this takes place in time and space. And I'm talking about the morning show and the existence
and the program
of the third graders.
Oh, I see. The
so curriculum. Basically what I want to say is you're at a point in this most recent episode where you have not, and I came in and I'm like, have they fucked yet?
Right.
Spoiler alert. I am talking about John Hamm and Jennifer Aniston. They fuck in the episode, and
which as an audience member, you're like, I did want to see that.
And boy, do you.
Yeah.
It's like a J.J. Abrams sort of like very interesting lighting. The position that they find themselves in post-coitally in the morning, I have to explain. Okay, so.
Oh, my God.
And let me know, straight couples, if you ever find yourself in this body position after fucking.
I'm so scared.
John Hamm is laying on his belly.
Okay.
Jennifer Aniston is nude on top of him. I can only describe their position as her pussy is on his butt. Like he's giving bottom.
But is her back on his back or is her
belly? Tits are on his back.
I see.
Her pussy's on his butt. And her leg is sort of wrapped around his leg to the point where I'm like, does this happen? Do women lay on top? Do women top men?
I think this happens much more often than you think. I think it's a cat riding a tortoise. I think it's that. I think it's pussy riding the shell, you know?
I think that what John Hamm is trying to do is he's trying to make people forget his big old penis. Because remember how he's so self-conscious about his big old penis? He's always like, whenever anyone talks about it in the media or like, and whenever he's like pushed on the size of his penis, which is swinging around all the time.
I know. It's like, well, then you're the one who's swinging it. And it's also like penis shame comes from both sides. You know what I mean? And it's like, oh, I didn't realize.
I think that that went into conversations. That
I see. Because
all I can say is the body position that they're in was something that was
discussed.
This had a 4-hour meeting.
Yes.
It had to go through many different departments and hands.
Oh,
ultimately,
my God.
I'm sure that there was like
the blocking rehearsal was 2 days.
Absolutely.
This is
and then they had to get the lighting right.
And they had to get the lighting right. Oh my God. They could, it's like, can you see the bulge from when I'm lying face down? Can you see?
It's more about her silhouette, really, because they like pan over her draped leg to the point where like they're fully nude and you see like the curve of her butt and then it goes around and like he, by the way, I can't even I can't explain. He's wearing this necklace, which I couldn't get over.
I saw the necklace that you posted.
And then I posted it on Instagram, and then I was informed that is a St. Christopher necklace, which is something that surfers wear. And I was like, I couldn't make it clear. I get it so much that this is obviously something surfers do. I just didn't know it was that big of a deal. Unfortunately, now I do have to buy that and probably be him in a wetsuit with that necklace for Halloween.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you were going to start surfing. And I thought, no, there's no need.
I don't know.
No, Matt. Why would you do that?
Do you think surfing is in my future?
There are sharks in the water.
Oh, that's what I'm not going in there.
No.
We're on the same page. I shouldn't go in there.
No, no way.
I'm not going in the ocean.
The surfing community is really, really shaken right now because they're like, what do we do about the sharks?
Yeah, I mean, there's never been more sharks. And you know that we were in Fine Rhino last time we saw a shark. We talked about this.
We talked about, by the way, we called this man insane and hung.
Yeah.
And he was just being heroic.
He was screaming at the ocean, running down the beach, and his penis was huge.
And he was warning us of sharks. That is not relevant.
What? His dick size? I think that would be a compliment. And I just say something to John Hamm, to this guy on the beach who was screaming shark? I'm so sorry that you guys feel upset that people can see how big your dicks are.
But
when you're nude on the beach and when you are not wearing underwear in like slacks and like, you're swanging it around like it's going to get back to people.
It's a triple crown. You're piercing society, America, and the world.
Exactly. This episode is called The Triple Crown.
The Triple Crown, colon, society, America, and the world.
The Triple Crown, colon, society, America and the world is
this title of ep.
It's title of ep. And people are going to see that title of ep and be like, oh, wow, they're on their NPR shit this time. And then they're going to click play and then it really couldn't be less.
No, couldn't be less.
But anyway, Greta Lee is really becoming like a huge part of the show. There's a scene where she's standing outside and she's sort of furiously, nervously smoking weed. I'm like, that's me watching this show.
I thought of you when I saw Greta Lee because she was picking at her fingernails and I went, that is some Matt Rogers behavior. She was nervously picking at her fingernails until it bled and I went,
I know, look at my lucky thumb. I don't think we've told him about my lucky thumb.
I saw your lucky thumb on FaceTime yesterday. It's gotten worse. I need to sit you down. This is an intervention. I'm dead ass. You need to stop.
I actually haven't touched it in a while. So everyone, I have a lucky thumb.
No.
Which I ask Bowen to rub sometimes for luck, trying to help him, and he persecutes me. Whatever. I'm just saying, how did the lucky thumb become what it is? I think from stress. I think all year.
From digging your teeth into the keratin, the shell of the nail.
So how would you describe the texture? Feel the lucky thumb.
No.
Just touch it, please.
No,
please touch the thumb.
So it looks so
touch it.
Crazy.
Touch it and explain to the readers what it feels like.
Readers, it's the Grand Canyon. There is a deep, deep canyon on the bed of the nail that it's like a cliff that goes down and then comes back up, but now it's at this weird angle.
It's really weird.
I have to take a picture of it
We'll post this to socials. Is this good? You have good lighting?
I got it.
I just want to make sure it's a good glamour shot of my lucky thumb.
Now, you haven't touched it in a while?
No, I haven't been biting it because...
Don't even touch it.
What am I supposed to do, Bowen?
Greta Lee picks at her nails until they bleed.
I thought you were going to say you thought of me when you saw Greta Lee in past lives.
I did think of you. I did think of
you. You were like, this is stunning acting like my sister.
Not no. Not no. I said, Matt, I said, my sister can deliver a grounded bilingual performance like this.
First of all, I don't pick at my thumb. I nervously bite my thumb. I was doing it all year because I have been stressed out because I have now everyone may know I am releasing an album and I've been, you know,
been working so hard.
It was stressful. Couple months there recording it, getting everything together. It's been a big project and my thumb fell by the wayside.
That is the price to pay, I guess.
Yeah. You can come see my lucky thumb live if you come buy tickets.
Oh my God.
To me on tour.
I think there's an original
www.mattrogersofficial.com.
Get your tickets. They are going fast.
Well, they could be going faster. So get your tickets.
That's why we're saying to get them.
Couple months out. We have time.
I think the lucky thumb can be a new Christmas classic, a new Christmas image.
Like, that nervously is waiting for Santa gnawing on my lucky thumb.
Yes. the holiday spirit is stressing you out so much that you get a lucky thumb.
That actually is good. Like, so many gifts to buy, so many meals to make, so many family to see. I've been gnawing on my thumb. And the chorus is like, I've been chewing on my thumb so hard. I've been waiting for Santa Claus.
God, it's so
deluxe version.
It's so crazy. He just is able to come up with like hooks like that with the meter, with the way that the syllables land. Now, I think the lucky thumb, if the readers, Katie's publicist, finalists who go see your shows,
yeah,
I think if they show up with a lucky thumb, it's like your friendship bracelet. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
When it comes to travel, we all have that happy place. Whether it's the beach, ski slopes, couples getaway, or even a visit to that best friend you haven't seen in way too long, Matt.
And Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price so you never have to miss a trip. Now, we all know we love to vacation together. We have various happy places. We love to go to Orlando, Florida. We love to go to Las Vegas, Nevada. We love to go to a beach anywhere. We love to go to Europe. But when we have truly traveled the world globally and domestically.
My happy place is with my sister in any of those locations he just listed. And now, thanks to Priceline's VIP family feature, you can go to your happy place more often while earning deals up to 5 times faster with a group.
When one person from the squad travels, everyone gets more deals, and you can even choose your own crew. It doesn't have to be your actual family. It could be your neighbor, your roommate, your mailman, anyone. The more you travel, the more you save.
For me, I'm choosing Matt Rogers. I'm choosing producer Becca.
Yes! We're all going together, the Lost Cult family. So download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy place with Priceline.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Speaking of friendship bracelets, you've both seen the Eras Tour film.
We both have seen the Eras Tour film.
In very different settings, I would say.
Yes, you sort of went by yourself on a Thursday night.
Wednesday night, I see Taylor is releasing tickets a day before the actual premiere, which I must imagine upset some Swifties who wanted to say that they were the first ones to see it. And, you know,
I think they also went to great lengths to like plan their weekend around it and thought it was more limited than I guess it was going to be. But you know what? Hey.
I must thank Taylor for doing that.
Yeah, well,
because
yeah.
I was not quick to buy the original release of tickets. And then I tried to get some the other day, earlier last week, mm-hmm. and saw that it's all, I mean, every theater is sold out in New York for the next 2.5 weeks. I said, okay, I guess I got to wait till November. And then she releases these tickets. I bought 2 pairs of tickets for 2 showtimes, mm-hmm. 7:30 and then 9:45. Didn't get out of work until 9 o'clock. Until 9:15.
So you really helped the opening weekend box office.
Yeah, I bought quadruple the amount of tickets that I ended up using. Because guess what, guys? I saw it by myself in a theater that was not packed because it was a late, late show. But there were about, like, what, 30 of us there. Mm. And
just getting up and singing and dancing?
See, the spirit did not move us.
I see.
I had my own row, and it was like a big theater where, you know, seats could recline. I could not see anybody else. But it seemed like other people in the rows above me, no one was below me, and the rows above me were having fun cheering. I was by myself in my own row. No one could see me. Mm-hmm. This is purely for myself.
Yeah.
Was pumping my fist during the Reputation beat.
Can we say?
Yes.
The Reputation era was 100% the best part.
Yep.
Look What You Made Me Do went off so hard.
Yep.
The way that any hater of that song, and I'm just going to be honest, myself included, in the very beginning.
Of course, me too.
We were not Look What You Made Me Do original OG supporters. In fact, we felt confused.
Mm-hmm.
We felt...
We always loved the bridge. We always loved Bad Dreams!
Look, now I think it's one of the great songs. I think it's one of the great standards. It is by far the highlight of such an incredible concert and film.
Yeah.
And I would say Evermore, Into Reputation, that whole section, she really, capital D, capital T, did that.
For sure. I think Reputation fucking jolts you back into, because I was late, I had a long day,
mm-hmm.
I was getting a little droopy-eyed.
During Evermore.
Not that I don't love and adore Evermore, but then Reputation, that fucking, these title treatments for each of the eras.
Oh, the
girl,
snake going through the crowd.
I was like, I have never seen, that was like the first time I saw the Titanic on film.
Sink.
Was the snake coming out of the fucking screen. I went, damn.
Unreal.
And listen, loved the secret songs.
Yeah, good ones.
You can tell she loved. Can tell she loves Reputation and Folklore. Folklore, I think, took the longest. Ate up the most time.
I was talking to Jared and Patrick about like what we would cut if we absolutely had to. And it's so interesting because watching the actual Eras tour and thinking what I would cut while in the concert is so different
than
from
the film. Yeah.
What I would cut from the film. Like, tolerate it. Like, I saw that show 4 times. And so tolerate it. I'm
live,
just like, okay,
incredible.
Let's go.
Oh, really?
And then she said Broadway. In the Eras tour.
That's right.
What I was most taken by in the whole time is how calm and present she is the whole time. Because when you're seeing the concert, the energy in the stadium, as I'm sure many of you know, is so insane that for her to like even find the camera and remain present and like be calm was so just wild to see.
Yeah. She is really plugged in. She is having fun. I think she's leaned into this thing where it's like she's just going to be fun and literal and like she has to play to the fucking nosebleeds, you know? So she's, so it's like, I'll be waiting. She's like tapping her
I
wrist.
Love it.
I'll be waiting. Oh, there's left. She's like
story pirates.
She's doing story pirates. And that's what we're taught in story pirates is you got to play to the back row.
Yeah.
Like
big actions.
Big.
Objectives must be so clear.
Yes.
You're making me feel like I'm the man.
Get the typewriters out, get the desks.
Okay, I'm going to say this bravely. Let me tell you something. I heard that she cut Wildest Dreams from the movie, and I text Bo in 2 words. Hate her. Hate her. She knows what she did. She disrespected a lot of people with that decision.
If you saw her in person, would you say that to
her? I said, I hate you. No, I wouldn't even say it to her. I would go up to Travis and I'd point to her and I'd say, hate her.
Hate her. And she'd laugh.
Did you know they were coming?
No.
They just came to SNL.
They just came. And it was a dress rehearsal. It's like, great, that was fun. I'm in my room getting stuff, you know, tidying up my room. I had people watching from my dressing room for the air show. I walked outside, I go to my makeup chair. I see 2 people talking to 2 tall people.
You said tallest people in the world.
Tallest people in the world. Yeah. By the way, it's one thing to see them individually.
Many times.
In space.
Yeah.
But it's pure force multiplier. It's like, I see them together. I go,
oh no.
I'm in the Redwood Forest.
Yeah.
I'm in the Redwood Forest.
Mm-hmm. Might as well have been Evermore staging.
It might as well have
been. The trees were so tall.
Folklore staging.
No mama. The Evermore staging is the trees.
Oh, the staging, but the Folklore album cover.
Yeah, I think that we just missed each other there, but we're really saying the same
saying
thing,
the
which
same
is
thing.
Trees.
Trees, tall trees.
And tall trees.
Tall tree pain.
Period.
Tree pain is tall.
I mean, here's the thing. She has to stand tall in this industry.
She's a giant, a titan of this industry. She should be tall.
Yeah. What you're saying is you're like Meryl Streep in Big Little Lies. You don't trust small people.
We are on the Hunter Harris bandwagon where we are saying, Amy Adams, please do the tree pain biopic. You must. She is destined for that. That's the Oscar. She's getting the Oscar for the Tree Pain biopic. Hunter Harris has been writing about this on her Substack for years.
This is what it needs to be. And I haven't read the Substack, so I don't know exactly what Hunter is planning. And I think if anyone should write this, it should
be Hunter.
But this is my pitch. I think the Tree Pain biopic should be like the 2 hours after Kim and Kanye first did what they did. I want to see like real time.
Open up your notes app, Taylor.
Yeah. I want to see real time PR handling. I want to see ultimately at the end of the movie, it should be shot like Zero Dark Thirty. And I want to see ultimately at the end of the movie, remember when Zero Dark Thirty, when Jessica Chastain gets on the plane and she finally has a moment where she can like break down and sob?
Oh my God.
Is Zero Dark Thirty not top of mind for you?
Right. Another iconic redhead film.
Exactly.
Yes.
And also Jessica's going to be mad that we didn't pitch her for...
It's Amy. I'm sorry, Jessica. You're fine.
She's literally fine.
You've done a lot. You don't need this.
Yeah. Amy, what is she doing right now? She's doing something right now.
The Tim Tammy thing.
What?
Right?
Tim Tammy? Tammy Wynette?
Yeah, the Tammy Wynette thing.
Jessica Chastain is... what we're saying is you're busy.
George and Tammy. I don't know why I said Tim.
Well,
and
that's like last year. George and Tammy, I forget what she's doing, but she is doing something right now. And Jessica Chastain is kind of always doing something. It's actually Roller Culture number 99. Jessica Chastain is kind of always doing something.
Can I say
what?
The fact that I thought George and Tammy was this year, I'm so out of the loop with Jessica.
It's hard to find things sometimes.
She's not triple crowning.
Can I say this isn't my I Don't Think So, Honey?
Okay.
But I Don't Think So, Honey, that they just took I Love That For You like off. You can't watch it. It's crazy.
Oh my God.
I've always been that kind of person that's like, oh no, that would feel so bad to be in one of the things that they just take off streaming.
No one's immune. I'm so sorry.
I'm scared for Fire Island.
Like, I know. I'm really scared for Fire Island, to be honest.
What's going to happen? Like, I mean,
I think the fact that it's gotten like some awards and nominations is a good sign. And the fact that it's Searchlight is good, but I'm also like, please, 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 please at least put this on like airplanes. That's my thing.
Yeah. There was someone out there who was like, I fought to get the physical copy of my thing because I don't trust the streamers.
I know.
And I was like, oh yeah, I guess that is important.
Jilkin Booster.
Not to like trigger anybody. Also not to scab. Gotta get off this topic.
Yeah.
Anyway, what were we talking about?
Tree Pain.
Tree Pain biopic. Oh, it should be the 2 hours after the Kim and Kanye thing. And we should see Tree Pain jump into action and handle shit. And at the end, I believe she has a moment to herself, maybe in a car or a closet, which is just 3 uninterrupted minutes of her finally just like having a release because she has had to be so strong as Taylor Swift's publicist. And Amy would finally win the Oscar.
Amy Lee would win the Oscar. Do you think it's a thing where we never see Taylor in the film? Yeah,
never see her.
I'm going to really selfishly pitch something.
You want to be in it.
Well, here's the thing. I think we should be in it.
I think we should be in everything.
Because I agree, but I think we should be in it in this way. Playing ourselves.
Fuck.
I think the movie becomes a backdoor pilot for the Matt and Bowen biopic television show. I know it's a movie.
Yeah.
But the movie is the backdoor for the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it ends, the movie ends / the show starts with the phone call that Tree and I had.
Yeah.
While I was laying over in the Madrid airport passing hot Spanish guy after hot Spanish guy, I fucking each one of them, I fucking me.
Yeah.
I was like, this is Spanish men. What is going on?
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, I'm on the phone with Tree Pain discussing the particulars and the contract obligations of would Taylor be interested in sending a video to the Culture Awards?
Yeah.
And Tree Pain was powerful, professional, Miss Pain.
Miss Pain.
And then the show starts with the Culture Awards, you and I kind of
waving. And then we see finally her have 3 moments of a breakdown because she has had to be so strong in dealing with you on the phone. Bowen has been such a nightmare on the phone. Bowen is, he's so difficult to deal with in this Hollywood. Since he's become,
you know,
Big Bowen. Since he's become the legend. I was proud of you doing Columbus. Your Italian accent was giving me... What was it giving me?
You said Signor Pirelli?
Signor Pirelli.
Yeah.
Which I loved.
It was fun. I worked hard on it, and yet some people...
Well, you work hard all the time. That was never in doubt.
And some people who, you know, do this, the Sunday morning write-ups were not as impressed. And I went, oh, that's fine. You know what I realized? This is me being real. and people can roll their eyes at this.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't think it's fun to like root for me anymore. And it's okay.
I don't think that's true.
I kind of think it's
you think
true.
When you roll out there and make an update, they're like, oh, here we go.
Well, I think like
this one.
I'm gonna say in the moment, oh, this is so fun. I'm so lucky. Wow. And then I think once it kind of passes through the internet thing, it's like, oh, well, like that's not.
Let cares? Me tell you something. The internet, not good.
It's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad. And also, I remember like when you first got on and like people were like, there was just like the troll thing. And you would come to me and you'd be like, the trolls online are so mean. They're so mean. They're so mean. I finally got like a little taste of it
because
whenever I go on Watch What Happens Live.
Oh, these people are.
They are. It's like.
These people are like the scorched scum on
it's wild.
The steel of the soul.
Like troll culture is like so real still. And I'm like, oh, this is with everything going on in the goddamn world. Like this is what people get so deep about. I'm like, some gay guy spouting off on Watch What Happens. Anyways, it's just no nuanced conversations on the internet, no. I think, as we can see.
Of course. Anyway, I didn't mean to masturbate in front of everybody.
What right you now. Don't know is that Bowen has had his dick at his hand in front of me for the last 35 minutes. And I said, Bowen, this doesn't here. Feel appropriate to me. And this is like,
I said, I'm in my own home.
Yeah. And I said, this is, I need HR on this podcast. I should have them on speed dial.
Yeah. Yes. Well,
did I tell you I met Sutton Strack the other night?
You did. And can we know what she said?
Yeah, we can know what she said. I
know what she said, but I want everyone to know what she said.
No, so we ran into each other at this restaurant in Los Angeles, and I went up to her and I was like, oh my God, hi. And she said, I feel like I know you.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I mean, it's so great to meet you. You're my favorite. And she goes, well, don't go that far.
That is so.
I loved it. And then walked away. And well, I was like, you are my favorite. And she was like, oh, I don't know. And I was like, you are. And she was like running away. I believe she might have been on a date. She was with a gentleman.
That makes me very happy to hear.
Well, I was debating whether or not to go up to her. And Greta and Abra like, you should go up to her. Sure. If she's on a date, this will make her like look cool, mm-hmm. you know, et cetera.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And I bet she felt really good about it.
I mean, you I don't know how she felt. She got either shy or incredibly furious that I said to her, you're my favorite.
Or was she being faux humble?
Perchance
to dream.
Perchance to dream.
Speaking of housewives, did you watch Roni last night?
So I have to say something about Roni, which is that I think it's gotten really good towards the end of the season. And I'm sad to see a villain so clearly emerge because I can
right
tell this
ends.
Person did not think they were going to be this.
This is
there's really two.
This is what we're all saying.
Yeah. Oh, Cyan Aaron.
They're so fucking lame.
You know, here's what I think. I think that Cy, what I get from her sometimes is like, I think her energy and her face value, I think that she's a good person.
The essence of Cy is cool.
Yeah, I think the essence of her is better than her behavior.
Right.
It doesn't really make sense to be like, I don't care. Like, I'm better than this, dot, 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 dot. Like, and to really be so dismissive. And then to have pretty much your entire storyline be that your head is all the way up Jessel's ass. And what I would say is that I think that the internet is a little hard on Cy because I just don't.
I don't know. She's not making a great case for herself. On
yeah.
I think it's actually quite. It rarely happens, but it's quite evenly proportioned.
You think?
Because, I mean, the storyline is her head's up Jessel's ass. Even to the finale, it's still about the snacks and the cheese and the food. I'm like, give it up.
Jessel really won the season. I'll say that.
Jessel won the season.
Walked away with it.
Cy and, I'm going to say Brynn. I know Brynn's like the other favorite, but like both of their things, even with Brynn's invitation, I mean, like, bring the person that you've had sex with or want to have sex with. I'm like, this is not me being prudish or sex negative. I'm like, it's everything that comes out of your mouth is about fucking boobs, dicks, whatever. What, like, and then her whole thing about like settling down with a man. It's about like, he needs to read The Economist. I'm like, are you 19?
I think she doesn't know what she wants.
Right. And I can relate to that 1000%.
Same.
But back to Cy.
Yeah.
The nobody cares thing, it's like you're screaming at the most, at the weirdest, craziest register about how much you care.
Don't care.
And like what did she say at one point in the episode? Don't call me a mean girl, you fucking bitch.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Okay. Don't call me a mean girl, you fucking bitch. It's kind of iconic. I will say I did not like Pavit calling her a bitch. I did not like Pavit in the last episode being she's bipolar. Pavit needs to sort of slow it down there. I understand like it can't feel good to like be the object of all this. It's just weird too, because I feel like Jessel and Pavit are so obviously good.
Fine. Yeah.
I feel like they're actually a picture of a pretty good relationship. Like,
I agree.
And the sex thing is, it's just like, that's like centering sex in a relationship in a way that's just like, I think says, like you're saying, much more about all of them than it does about Jessel and Pavit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I realized, the whole season has been like these two women, Aaron and Sai, interrogating, examining, turning over every rock about the marriage, Jessel's background.
Yeah.
And I, for why? For why?
For what? For why? For whom? For?
Perchance.
Perchance.
It's a dream.
Here's a question for you. Do you think A, Jen Alliance wants to be on the show, and B, will return to the show?
I think she'll return. I think this is the most we've talked about Jen Alliance in a long time. And I think she likes that. And I don't blame her. I love that. You know, she wants to sell her eyelashes. She wants to explain why her teeth are all new. Like, she has a platform to, like, tell people who she is, why she does what she does. I think she's come off very well.
Yeah, I just feel like it's really interesting to see her, like, take this platform. And like, she's like, I'm going to do it on my own terms. Yeah. And in that, I both respect that, because it's like, yeah, who says that you have to do Housewives the way everyone else does Housewives? At the same time, when Housewives is happening around you, you do have to kind of participate in it. Otherwise, you're going to get left behind in the narrative.
Totally.
I just would like to see her play ball a little bit more.
Do you think if Uba continues to date this man in Connecticut, I would be annoyed if she did not, if she still kept him away from the show.
Uba. I think we will not see him kept away
ever
from the show.
Kept away.
I think he'll be on the show.
It's just early days, and like, of course you don't bring him on the
show.
She's
moving in silence.
Yes.
Because she knows, well, we see what happens when you make a mistake.
Uh-huh.
The wolves and the sharks come out.
To hunt,
and they hunted. And then we saw that in the finale,
yes,
the hunting. And guess what? That's a little bit what they're all there to do. They're there to hunt.
Totally. Well, the Sai having that meltdown, I'm like, you're just upset that you got caught.
Yeah, that was like, 100% so what that was.
It's so obvious.
Yeah, you were like, girl, a hypocrite. You said you would do one thing and did another, and it was on camera.
The image that Sai is trying to project, the person that Sai is trying to be on camera, is not at all lined up with the person she actually is. And therefore, she is now this villain where she banked on other women being the unfavorites.
It's really hard to say my thing is I'm cool and unbothered, and you're screaming.
You're the screamer.
you know? But like, this is the thing, is like, what I wish for, and I don't think, I know that this is another unpopular opinion. I want to see everyone come back, and I think they should add one. I know I'm in the minority opinion here, but I would like to see Liam McSweeney on with this cast.
Uh-huh.
Personally, I think she makes the most sense, and I think it would be nice and be invigorating for the show to have someone
to have
come
one
back.
Bridge.
Right, because Leah never fit in with that group anyway.
I know, totally.
She was so much younger than them. She was so much different than them.
Yeah.
She was so much hipper than them. I'm not going to say cooler.
She was just hipper.
She was just like an edge that they literally couldn't handle.
Yep.
So conversation would just break down because like it was Ramona and Leah, and who cares?
They're speaking a different language.
Like, I think that Leah and Sai would be an interesting vibe. I think that Leah and Brynn would be a fun vibe. I think like one of the only people that would literally say to Jenna Lyons, like, what the fuck? Like, why aren't you?
Yeah,
why are you better than us?
Right, you're right.
Is someone like Leah.
You're right.
And I know that Leah did not slay the Ultimate Girls Trip, and people have their ideas about why and who she is, etc. And yeah, her second season was certainly not as strong as her first. And that has nothing to do with sobriety. It just has to do with, like, I don't know, maybe where she was at in her life. But like, I think that Leah is watchable and dynamic and would fit in with this cast and would give it a boost next season, perchance the like edge and danger that it needs.
Perchance to dream.
That's how I feel.
You make a very good case. I was not totally on board when you first proposed this, but now this persuasive girl.
Persuasion, the new fragrance by Matt.
By Matt.
See, the thing is, when I start to do my fragrances, it will not be as Matt Rogers, it will just be Matt.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
When the music of Celine Dion makes sweet Canadian love with the Oscar-winning film Titanic, you get Titanic, a campy, unhinged, chaotic night out.
And what more could you ask for? Find out what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night from Celine Dion's totally real and historically accurate perspective.
Titanic is NYC's funniest night out. Plus, it's the winner of multiple awards, including the Las Culturistas Kimberly Akimbo Award for Best Indoor Live Performance.
Titanic is a parody musical that answers the question of what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night aboard the Titanic.
My life was improved by seeing Titanic, so much so that I reached out to my best friend, Bowen Yang, to improve his life. And Bowen, did it succeed?
It succeeded so much that I went 4 more times.
So set sail with this kooky, crazy off-Broadway hit this season. Plus, if you get tickets 6 weeks in advance, you get 30% off. And that's on Titanic math, girlfriend.
But seriously, who can wait that long? Go see it tomorrow. What are you waiting for? Get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.
Do you agree that the name Matt is really powerful?
No.
I think it is. Whenever someone says Matt, I hear you saying it Matt, and I smile. Does that make sense?
It makes sense why you would smile when hearing my name. Love you, sister. But I don't think the name holds power. What I think is frustrating about my name, Matt, is that approximately billions have it as well. And I will also say that when you go onto Spotify and you type in Matt Rogers,
it's still American Idol guy.
It's a country singer named Matt Rogers. And then there's me. And then there is an American Idol contestant, obviously, who's also like a TV host. So it's like, I sort of can't do anything in this goddamn town. I know you don't like goddamn, but that's how I'm describing the town.
Oh,
the
no. I'm saying goddamn in song.
I know. But, you know, it's just so many people are Matt Rogers. And yet I feel like I have worked so hard to establish my identity.
Don't get like this, girl.
Like, you are mononymously Bowen. You know what I mean? You could be Bowen.
It's not mononymous. It's truly not mononymous.
I forgot your last name. I don't know. You're mononymous to me. Beyonce, Madonna, Bowen. Did you see clips from the Celebration tour?
I did not see clips from the Celebration. It looks fun.
She looks good.
She looks good. Yeah. I am excited. I hope to go.
I hope to go too. That would be really fun.
Barclays.
The set list is just, I mean, that's Madonna.
It's Madonna.
Is she doing Barclays?
She's doing Barclays in December.
That's going to be a hard ticket. December, I can't go. I'm on tour. Buy tickets at www.mattrogersofficial.com.
Cancel the tour.
No, I can't.
Okay.
I love my fans too much.
I think the fans would be more excited to see you than Madonna. I will live and have slight regrets if I don't see Madonna on what may be her last tour. But I will really, 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 really hate myself if I don't go to see you.
Somebody said, ugh, really messed up. Got tickets to see Matt Rogers and the Countess Lou on the same night. What do I do? And I said, girl,
You know what to do.
I'll see you at the show. Come on.
Lou's been doing it for a minute.
She's making trips around the sun.
Matt is doing what Lou can never, which is release an album. Do you know what I mean? I'm sorry.
Damn.
Lou knows this.
I think that
she'll do one single every 3 years.
Yeah, well, an album from Lou would be major.
I just don't think.
I want to hear the Lou ballad.
I don't know that Lou has the work ethic. She's up there. I'm just saying, like, she doesn't have the hunger.
I think she's so hungry. I think she's as hung as John Hamm and that gay on the beach screaming shark. The three hungry and hung icons.
Luann,
John Hamm.
The shark guy.
And Fag Who Cried Shark.
Do
you think he's upset that we called him a fag?
I think, so literally we were still on the island when the episode came out.
Yeah, we were.
And I was at the canteen getting some breakfast. And then one of the shop owners walked up to me and said, "We loved your episode." And the guy who was telling everybody about the sharks, you know, called me this morning and said he felt really embarrassed. I said,
that's not what that was supposed to be.
We were saying, no. We were truly hailing him as a hero. We were just kind of...
He was right. I said I want to do a film based on him. I literally want to do a film based on him, which is...
He's getting the life rights check.
This is what I want, is I do think it could be a great opportunity, like artistically, to play someone who literally no one believes. And then all of a sudden, the shark rises up at the end, and we all gasp because they were like, "Oh my god, he was right!" Yeah. And like, fag is a term of endearment.
Oh my god!
I mean, like, come on.
Oh please, we only use it endearingly. I've never called someone I do not like a faggot. On my life.
Never.
Have never.
Only icons.
That. Only icons. Truly, and he counts as one of them.
100%.
Where we say, "Oh, housewives." Anything to say about Salt Lake? Interesting development. Last week I was writing on Tuesday. Now I don't get to watch Salt Lake the night that they air because I'm working. Mm-hmm. But you and Sudi were watching it together last week and you both shocked me with a statement. Do you know what it was?
Say what it was.
You're both Team Angie now. Oh, we can't say that.
It's not that I'm Team Angie now. It's that after that, I deeply understood...
Angie.
Why this would feel so harmful. Because the way that her husband broke down, I was like, okay, two things. One, I believe these people are... actually fine and discussions about her. And I also think being Team Angie doesn't mean anti-Meredith, because I actually don't think she's... I don't believe that Meredith as a glad girly
was spreading rumors
out here
about
being
that.
Like, her husband's gay. Well, I think it must be something else.
Meredith on Watch What Happens said one of her questions from the audience was the rumor that you were talking about ever get discussed? And she goes, "I never discussed it." And then Andy goes, "Well..." She goes, "That's not what I'm talking about." And Meredith never spread that rumor.
Yeah, she said she knew a rumor and would go there. And that doesn't mean it's necessarily this
that
gay
rumor.
Thing. I think that there's some, well, whatever. And I guess what I'm saying is, like, one, I don't think that their marriage is, like, weird. And two, I think if he is gay,
leave it alone.
It doesn't feel good to watch this guy fucking break down. Like this guy, I mean, he, like, loves his daughter. He has love for his wife. I don't know what form that takes, but whatever it is clearly real.
Yes.
And therefore, like, ugh. But it's getting to the point now where it's just like, I guess if you go on one of these reality shows, like, and your husband's like, "Hey, I don't know." And you're like, no. It's like, you can't make him that promise. Like, every single one of these women is bloodthirsty to destroy your marriage.
Yeah.
It's like Cyan Aaron looking for something wrong with Jessalyn Pavitt. Like, literally desperately needing there to be something wrong with them. To prove what?
My thing is that it's just, I mean, Giselle fucking does this.
Constantly.
It's like, let's say, like, I don't know, like Tamara on OC or whatever. Like, it's low-hanging fruit at this point. It's so well trod that I'm like, I actually don't give a fuck if someone's marriage is on the rocks on one of these shows. It's not why I'm watching.
Or if the marriages are on the rocks, like, let's see it play out between the couple. You know what I
totally.
Mean? Like, it just feels like, it always feels like when someone on any reality show, like, comes for someone else's marriage, it will always read to me as, you are not personally compelling enough to carry your
exactly.
own thing. And that is something I will give Jenna Lyons, is she is personally compelling enough
so that
she can barely engage with what's going
right.
on.
Right. And for us to still be like, Jenna.
And to still be like, "Oh, wow, she's so great. She's an icon." We have to make it a little bit of a shorter episode today. So we're going to transition into I Don't Think So, Honey. And I personally, my I Don't Think So, Honey, I believe could be elaborated on, so I want to get into it.
I love a conversation starter. I love an
I love conversations with you in general.
Girl, you know that's reciprocal.
My favorite conversationalist. I always say that.
I don't know.
Speaking of, we will be in conversation with Betty Gilpin, 92nd Street Y.
So excited.
October 22nd. And we are going to be releasing that as an episode.
We are. It'll also be live streamed. It'll be on the YouTube. I don't know that it will be released on our
Okay,
feed.
So just know that I deeply want to provide it as an episode, and so does Bowen. And just stay tuned, but you'll never know. So if you feel like there's any doubt, just come see us.
Okay. We're so excited.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
When the music of Celine Dion makes sweet Canadian love with the Oscar-winning film Titanic, you get Titanic, a campy, unhinged, chaotic night out.
And what more could you ask for? Find out what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night from Celine Dion's totally real and historically accurate perspective.
Titanic is NYC's funniest night out. Plus, it's the winner of multiple awards, including the Las Culturistas Kimberly Akimbo Award for Best Indoor Live Performance.
Titanic is a parody musical that answers the question of what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night aboard the Titanic.
My life was improved by seeing Titanic, so much so that I reached out to my best friend, Bowen Yang, to improve his life. And Bowen, did it succeed?
It succeeded so much that I went 4 more times.
So set sail with this kooky, crazy off-Broadway hit this season. Plus, if you get tickets 6 weeks in advance, you get 30% off. And that's on Titanic math, girlfriend.
But seriously, who can wait that long? Go see it tomorrow. What are you waiting for? Get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.
We should say that I Don't Think Sony is our 1 minute segment where we each take a minute.
Let them know.
To rail against something in culture that's grinding our gears. Mm-hmm. That's the expression. Matt Rogers will go first. This is Matt Rogers. I Don't Think Sony's time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, Will and Jada. I'm so tired of it. They're so annoying. Like, you might have to be brought to the red table if that's your real name. Because now we know the red table has been, if red is the color of honesty and truth, well, this has not been very red.
You're so right.
Why are you saying, like, why have we been engaging in your relationship if it's not been an actual thing for 7 years? Like,
30 seconds.
What is this? And I'm so over in general. And Trailer Swell, see, I have to say this too, but like, this like thing of like promoting your own relationship feels a little weird to me and icky to me. Like, less with them because it's like exciting and blah, blah, blah. And that's like, you know, part of it. I'm just bothered by the Will and Jada thing because it feels like both weird and dishonest and annoying at this point. Uh-huh. What was the slap for if your marriage hasn't been real?
And that's 1 minute. Yes. It's not that they owe us anything at the time that these things develop, but it's that like, oh, you are creating these really exhausting media narratives around your marriage when it was always a sham.
Yeah, I guess that's my thing, is it's just like, you ask us to engage.
To care.
You ask us to engage for years and years and years. You are Will and Jada. You came to the red table.
Right.
And now it's like, it just feels like, huh?
Anyway, that was a very good conversation starter.
Thank you. And that's what we have here. Honest conversations.
I have one that's kind of, it's a reaction to something that I just witnessed.
Okay. Bowen has witnessed something in the culture, and therefore he comes to his podcast, Las Culturistas, to discuss it. And thank God. This is Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. This new Wonka trailer, Matt just made me sit down and watch. He didn't make me. I was curious. But I watched it, and my jaw was on the floor. I'm not going to blame Timothy for this, but like, tennis ball acting, we had to figure out something better. Mm. Timothy is not acting in the same movie as Hugh Grant. It's so clear they were never on set the same day. I'm sure they were, but the eye lines, the registers, the tone,
30 seconds,
all completely misaligned in any given moment of this trailer, and I'm sure in the whole film. Also, I mean, we're going to apply the same thing we did like
15 seconds
12 years ago to movies, these like prequel origin story movies. I think we're done.
So tired.
Like, it's so tired. And I think we couldn't even get it right with Maleficent and Angelina. Like, that's as compelling as it gets. Like, we love Willy Wonka. We love the man and the chocolate, but not the story.
And that's 1 minute. I just don't know who asked for a new Wonka.
I don't know that we needed this. And that makes me feel like, obviously, it's just because it's a beloved property. Like, but is it? Like, do people care about this?
I mean, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory it's monoculture. It's like everyone totally knows. And so I don't think it's about beloved properties. I think it's research. I think it's market research being like, well, hey, Warner Brothers, like, we haven't done anything with this in a while.
I don't want to predict that something's going to do badly, but I think this is going to bomb. I'm predicting this is going to bomb. Here's what I think. Two things. I predict Wonka's going to bomb. I predict Mean Girls musical will be huge.
It's the Taylor Barbie thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the reason Paramount moved it off of Paramount Plus and into theaters was because they were like, oh, right. These are the people who are paying for movie tickets right now.
First of all, not for nothing, but like, Mean Girls shouldn't ever have been going to Paramount Plus. Mean Girls is a huge, relevant,
yes,
like, cultural thing that people would want to revisit.
For 20 and years, it's been relevant. It's crazy.
I think if anyone didn't like the musical, probably because, like, I personally feel like, when you put something on Broadway, it kind of sucks edge out of something like Mean Girls, which is like, Mean Girls was so cool because it was so funny and edgy and bitchy and fun and said something and was like, you know, it was able to create new things. Whereas like a Broadway version of that literally taking place on a stage, just kind of like, you can't necessarily be like edgy and inventive and cool.
It has to be for like the moms and the dads who are flying their teens in to watch this.
Yeah. Whereas like a movie version of even the musical can feel edgy and cool.
And it looks cool.
And it looks great. Yeah. And Renee looks so slay in it.
Yeah.
That line reading was, that's how you end the trailer.
It's so Renee. Get in, loser, or whatever.
Yeah, and I love that she's not copying Rachel.
I know. Oh, no, she's smarter than that.
Yeah, no, she's really fucking good.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it seems like a great cast.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of fun. I was happy to see Tim Meadows and Tina are in it.
Slay.
I will be there. And here's the thing is, it's like, Mean Girls, I know I'll be there. Wonka, I know I won't.
Yeah, you know you won't.
And I love Timmy. I mean, like,
oh, to say nothing of Olivia Colman.
And that's another thing. I was like, wow, she's in this, huh?
And it's not enough for me.
Can't possibly be.
You know what I was thinking? Mean Girls does. You know what? The thing that people overlook in Mean Girls, what? The moral of that entire story is at the mathletes competition where it's, I know it like is the climax of the film for Katie, but I always forget this part. And it is the whole point of the movie.
Yeah.
Is where she's like, she has a snaggle tooth. She has like, she's a lipstick. She has a snaggle tooth. And then she goes, I realized, making fun of this person is not going to help me solve this problem.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's the whole point of the movie. Being mean does not make you
better. It doesn't help anyone.
It doesn't help as a given situation. Like, listen, we're on a pop culture podcast where we like make fun of things all the time, but it's not for like, hopefully if we're doing our jobs right, it's not to like aggrandize ourselves.
No, it's, I would never, ever, ever, and I don't think either of us think we're better than a single fucking thing we talk about, and that is
ever,
a fact.
Ever,
but,
ever.
But I will say, and I think what we want to end this podcast on is to say, Sai, being mean to Jessel is not going to make you better.
Period.
Period.
That's why we wanted to talk about Wonka.
Was to get to Psy. And, I mean, calling someone a mean girl is a pretty heavy thing because of that movie.
And, you know, speaking of mean girl culture, one of the most iconic bitchy songs and the highlight of the Eras Tour movie is what we're going to end the podcast on today.
Ooh, look what you made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you just made me. Ooh.
Iconic abuser language made pop.
Bye.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
You know that I feel like it's really important to express yourself.
I know that about you.
You got to put your true self out there, okay? And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do just that.
Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean, literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know, it doesn't get more comfortable than Croc clogs and sandals. They're just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
When the music of Celine Dion makes sweet Canadian love with the Oscar-winning film Titanic, you get Titanic, a campy, unhinged, chaotic night out.
Find out what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night from Celine Dion's totally real and historically accurate perspective.
Some say Titanic is the best gay nightclub in the city, and those people are me.
And me. So set sail with this kooky crazy off-Broadway hit and get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.
Get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.